Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
And he wants to do something. If you allow him to do something, he will. This morning, we have our pastor. Like Pastor Melissa said, is not here. He is being a blessing to somebody else. It's okay. We can let him borrow him for one Sunday. But I know the word that this woman of God has is going to be powerful. And I ask that you pay attention. I know that she is anointed. And I know that she has a now word and a rhema word for everyone that is here this morning. Please help us welcome all the way from the valley. Just kidding. Leah Rios. Put 0956. Ah, just kidding. No, it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you guys. The way the pastors have been saying that have been coming up, there is a presence of God in this place, and so this message will be brief. That way we can go into a time of prayer and interceding. But I want to thank the pastors for this opportunity. I know Pastor Ryan's not here, but Pastor Melissa, thank you for this opportunity to bring forth this word. It's always something that I take seriously. I think I mentioned it before. Singing to me, I don't mean to sound a certain way, right? But singing is like, singing. But when they ask me to preach, I'm like, oh, okay. Yes, God. I will submit. I will obey. But we'll go ahead and open up the word before we sit down. I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew. We'll be reading out of chapter 18. And there's quite a bit of verses this morning. It's going to be the whole parable, the whole story. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. When you're there, please let me know with an amen. Yeah. And so Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, I'm reading the New King James Version. It says, then Peter came to him being Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And he had begun to settle the accounts. One was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him to be sold. He went and threw him into prison till he would pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt that because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant just as I pity on you? And his servant was angry, and the master was angry and delivered him to the torture until he could pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father, verse 35, also will do if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Let's pray. Father God, at this time we come up to your presence. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Holy Spirit, we know that you are in this place. I pray, Father God, that you would be on my lips, that this word would fall, and that it would bring fruit in your people, Father God, that it would be for such a time as this, that we would apply it in our lives and be the light in the world. All this we ask in your most precious, holy, and glorious name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, y'all may be seated. So as always, Pastor Ryan reaches out. We look at dates, and this is the date that it fell on. And I started praying to God, okay, God, what is it that you want me to share with your people? And he gave me this topic, and it was just a topic. There wasn't a Bible verse to follow or a story, just forgiveness. I was like, ugh, well, that's a good one. And then especially this week, right? Because how many of y'all still need to forgive Center Point for taking forever in a day to restore your power? Maybe you're still without. How many of y'all need to forgive that person at that new four-way stop because the lights aren't working, that doesn't know how to count and goes before they're supposed to? It's my husband, guys. I'm sorry. He doesn't know. He says he stops paying attention and just goes. Yes, we got to forgive those people, yes, but no, we're going to get a little deeper than that. Okay, so here, in that time, in the Bible times, the Pharisees were teaching that you would forgive up to 3 times. That's the number that they had, 3. And so Peter comes and he thinks that he's being generous. He says the 7, which is the number of completion, the number of perfection, he thinks he's being generous with the number 7. And Jesus throws that curveball like he usually does and says, nah, you say 7, I say 7 times 70, being the number 490. The only other time in the Bible that these two numbers are heard together is in Daniel 9:24. I'll read it really quickly. It's Daniel's receiving a prophecy and he's speaking it over the people of Jerusalem. He says, 70 weeks, so 70 sevens, are determined for your people to finish or complete their transgressions, to make an end of their sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and bring in everlasting righteousness. So in the book of Daniel, that 70 times 7 is used, like it says there, to get rid of transgression. It was made to complete, finish the transgression, make an end of their sins, and restore them to righteousness with God. That's the only other time we hear about 7 times 70. But the number 490, that number is the numerical value of the Hebrew word tamim. Tamim meaning perfect or complete. So basically, Jesus is in the details. How many of y'all realize that? It's not by coincidence. He wasn't just trying to give a big extravagant number. He's in the detail. Tamim means perfect or completion. Pneuma, we cannot be complete. We cannot be perfect if there is no forgiveness in us. We must learn to forgive like Christ forgave. So then we sit there and we're like, okay, so literally 490 times. I'm going to count how many times my husband asked me his forgiveness. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying my husband, okay, but he doesn't ask a lot because he's so good. But only 490 times or that many times? No. I think Jesus gave this number, again, because of the meaning, tamim. But also, it's not to be taken literal. Basically here, he's just saying we've got to be generous with our forgiveness. We got to be generous and not keep track. The world says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me a third time. Yeah, no. Okay, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what the word of God says. The God says 490 times, right? So not to keep track, to be generous. I'm going to go to the next verse, Ephesians 4:32. If you're taking notes, just write it down. If you want to go there with me, it's up to you. I'm going to read it really quickly. Ephesians 4:32 said, And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So listen to, even as God in Christ forgave you. So can you count on your hands from the day you were born to today, probably even just minutes before you walked in because someone was blocking the entrance. No, I'm just kidding. Did they move it? So can you count how many times you have sinned against God? Can you count how many times God has had to forgive you? I was talking to somebody and they say, yeah, I sin every day. Everybody like that? Or is it just... No, yeah, every day. I sin every day. Just because I'm on this altar doesn't mean we're perfect and we're holy. I still lose my cool sometimes. I have a toddler and I have a husband and I have to work and I have to come home and cook. And so I lose my cool sometimes. I've got to ask God for forgiveness because sometimes I'm short-tempered. But that's every day. Every day we sin against God. And so in this parable, God is speaking about a servant. The servant in the parable owed the king 10,000 talents, which is equivalent to greater than, today, $13 billion. That's a lot of money. $13 billion this servant owed the king. Whereas the fellow servant, the other dude that owed him, only owed him 100 denarii, which is about $5,000 to $10,000. You following me? Is a billion more than a thousand? A lot more. And so here, we obviously, the explanation is we're the servant, right? God is the king. We owe him 100,000 talents. But then what happens is God easily forgives it. We come with a broken and contrite heart. He forgives us. He makes us new. And then we go out there and we have the nerve. After Christ has forgiven us time and time again, we have the nerve to hold a grudge against our brother or our sister who has offended us and only owes us thousands. That is what that parable means right there. Because God so freely forgives us, we should not withhold forgiveness from others. See, in Psalms 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed my transgressions, my sin from me. That's the God's forgiveness. As far as east from the west. Does the east ever meet the west? No, our sins never meet again. We are forgiven by God and it is forgotten. How many in this world know that phrase? I forgive you, but I don't forget. No, that is not God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness is Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That is God's forgiveness. See, back then, this crimson color, it was a dark red color. It was a dye that they would use in different articles, different things. And this dye, if it got on the clothing that it wasn't supposed to get on, it could not be removed. It was permanent. See, Jesus, God knows the words he uses specifically to speak to his people. He uses this crimson because it was supposed to be something permanent. And he removes it, letting us know we don't have to go through life permanently soiled by the sins of our past. He gives us forgiveness. That is God's forgiveness for you, for me, for all of us. So let that sink in. If that is the kind of forgiveness that God offers us, on a daily basis, he has completely forgiven us. It is the enemy who brings condemnation. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, but forgiveness has been given. God's level of forgiveness should produce in us then, if we really let that sink in, it should produce an attitude of forgiveness towards others. And look, I know you might be sitting there and be like, no, you don't know though. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how many times they've done it to me. You don't know what they said about me. Or if there's only any mothers out there, my mom would always say, it's not so much about what they said about me. They can talk about me. They can even talk about my husband. But if they talk about my kids, so you don't know what they said about my kids, Leah. No, 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 I get it. I get it. I wanted to share this. When I was thinking about this topic, we were watching the newest season of Chosen. And, you know, Chosen, the creators have said themselves, they put in a little extra salsa, right, to make it interesting. It's not by the book of the Bible. But I didn't realize this when God is asking his disciples, Jesus is asking his disciples, who is it that you say I am? And Peter's the one that answers boldly, right? Peter's the only one out of the 12 that speaks up. And Jesus says, oh, this wasn't revealed to you by humans. This was revealed to you by my Father. Above this rock, I will build my church. So he calls Peter out of the 12, singles out Peter and says, he is the rock which I will build my church. And I've read this story, we've studied in a Bible study, and I've never paid attention or never thought of what did the other 11 think? And this specific episode in Chosen, they expanded it a little bit. And they made you dive into that, right? We think, Peter, wow, that's so awesome. He's a rock. And then we see later on in different chapters. But that's not how it happened with them. This was spoken over him. And then the others were like, so what do we chop liver? Like, what's going to be built on us? What are you going to do with us? And then they focused on Matthew. So Matthew, a little hindsight, Matthew and Peter, they've encountered each other before. For those of you all that don't remember, Matthew is a tax collector. Peter is a fisherman, right? So the fishermen had to pay their taxes to Rome at that time. So who was the one that would charge him? Matthew. Matthew was the one that would charge. Matthew was the one that would go collect. If you owed him, Matthew was the one that caught the soldier and was like, that guy owes. He needs to pay his debt, whatever it is. So I'm almost certain the relationship between Peter and Matthew wasn't the best. These were two men called by God, singled out, chosen to be disciples, but they weren't happy-go-lucky all the time. And so when this is given to Peter in this episode, when he's given that you are the rock upon which I will build my church, Matthew is kind of feeling a certain way. And he goes to Jesus and he's like, Peter, really? To Peter? Don't you see the way he treats me? Don't you realize how short-tempered he is? Peter is the rock that you're going to build your church. And Jesus looks at Matthew and is like, Matthew, what part have you played in his attitude towards you? He's not saying that Peter was right in the way he was acting towards Matthew, but he makes Matthew realize you're not innocent in this. And so a lot of times we walk around with this mentality, this victim mentality, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know, okay, I don't know what they did to you, and maybe you did nothing against them for them to be ugly against you, but what have you done against God? And God so graciously forgives you time and time and time again. We are called to forgiveness. The first year of marriage is usually known as, I've heard two things. First year of marriage, you either say is the honeymoon stage and it's so beautiful and it's butterflies. But I've also heard from other people that it's a little difficult because you're getting to know each other at an intimate level. You're living with somebody you've never lived with before. And so one or the other. Well, most of y'all know our first year of marriage, my husband and I's, we had 1 month of honeymoon phase. And then God was like, into the Instapot at the pressure cooker setting, let's go, let's get this done. We're molding these characters. And so that during that first year of marriage, my husband and I, we went through financial hardship. My husband was injured. He was unable to work. We later find out I'm pregnant, even though we were under birth control and not planning. And we were emotionally unstable. And I quickly realized in that pressure cooker, I quickly realized that there was things in my past that I hadn't forgiven. So rewind a little bit. Just some backstory. I'm here and I was, you know, I'm transparent with you guys because like I said, I don't want you all to ever believe because we're on this altar, we've got it all figured out. Because we grew up in church, we were holier than thou and we followed the right path. Anyway, let me just tell you. So at the age of 19, I was engaged to be married. I thought I had found my Prince Charming. We had our white picket fence house. I had it all planned out, 19. Anyways, at the age, it works for some people, but anyways, at the age of 19, engaged to be married, 2 months before our wedding, he tells me that he cannot marry me, and so he breaks it off, that he's in love with somebody else, and so it breaks it off. You can imagine how I'm left. I'm a 19-year-old, emotionally crazy girl. I thank God that I was in church. I stayed in church, and a man who is, he's like a spiritual father to me, kind of. After me being all depressed and not wanting to sing and not wanting to do anything because how could God allow this to happen to me? He came and he slapped me around and spoke some truth to me. And I snapped out of it and I told God, God, the next guy that I meet, I want him to be my husband. I'm not going to date around. I don't want to do this scene. I don't want to have to go through this again. Don't allow anybody to come knocking at my door until you know I'm ready. And so 8 years later, here comes this chele con ojos sarcos. This white boy with colored eyes, his name is Juan, who is now my husband, and he comes, and so I can promise you, on my wedding day, if you would have asked me if I've forgiven the guy in the past, I would have told you, forgiven? I've forgiven him. I'm healed. If I saw him at Walmart, I'd be able to say hi to him and say, God bless you, and genuinely mean it with a smile on my face, and I would have believed that, but see, in this pressure cooker that God threw us in marriage, when we would argue, I learned quickly that my speech said otherwise. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasures in his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures in his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Quickly, I learned that forgiving with actions is very different. I heard this told to me yesterday. Forgiving with actions is very different than forgiving from your heart. I had convinced myself I had forgiven this thing in the past. I had convinced myself I could move on. I had convinced myself it was not going to faze me in marriage. And my heart had not completely forgiven that person. The parable in Matthew 18, that last verse, 35, Jesus makes sure that he says, if you do not forgive from your heart, our speech and our actions reveal the true underlying attitudes that are in our heart. What is in your heart will come out in your speech and in your behaviors. Pneuma, what is in your heart today? See, I didn't come from a broken home. My parents are happily married for 30 plus years. I never saw them argue or say hateful things to each other. My husband hadn't done anything. He didn't cheat on me. He didn't go out and smoke and drink and waste all the money we didn't have. He didn't do any of that. There was no reason for me to be so hateful in my speech towards him. But my heart hadn't healed. I'd forgiven with my lips. But my heart hadn't healed that which was in the past. And I wish I could tell you today that it only took me 1 month that this happened. December we got married. That was the honeymoon phase. January we went through the hardship. By February I was at the altar praying, crying, God heal my heart, blah, blah, blah. No, unfortunately, it wasn't until I began to pray Psalms 139, 23 through 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any wicked way in me. I began to genuinely pray that prayer, and God was like, you remember when you were first married? I mean, we've only been married 3 years, but God was like, you remember those first few months and those hateful things you would say? This is the root. Your root is unforgiveness. There is unforgiveness in your heart. See, we cannot please God with our outward actions, no matter how good they are, no matter how generous we are when it comes to giving, when it comes to volunteers, generous with our time, generous with our money. If our heart attitude isn't in the right place, you cannot please God. We can fool men, but we cannot fool God. See, I had fooled myself into thinking I have forgiven, I have moved on. But in God's pressure cooker of marriage, I realized that I had not. A couple of weeks ago, our pastor preached about private spaces. And he said this, and I quote, what is in your heart will always be a reflection of what you keep behind closed doors. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But then he answers with the very next verse. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Our heart is deceitful, Pneuma, and we've got to surrender it to God every single day. All of our heart, the past, the present, the future, the good, the bad, and the ugly, he wants it all. I grew up in church. Those 8 years after that broken engagement, I was still at church, but I was still harboring unforgiveness. See, Luke 23, verses 34. And with this, I'll finish. So I'll call up the praise and worship team. This is amongst his last seven phrases on the cross. The few last things he says. This is the ultimate picture of forgiveness. Luke 23:34, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The ultimate picture of forgiveness. Because did he deserve what they were doing to him? Did they ask for forgiveness while he was hanging on that cross? No. But as we get to know God, as we grow in intimacy in our relationship with God, as we seek his face through prayer, as we seek him through reading his word, the Holy Spirit nudges us and helps us transform into being more Christ-like. So those of us who are unwilling to forgive, we fully haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to bring about that change in us. Like I said, God wants all of your heart. And maybe we've allowed him into certain aspects of our life, but no, Don't touch that. Not that part. Not yet, God. Well, when? When? How long are you going to harbor that grudge? How long are you going to harbor unforgiveness against that person? We've maybe invited him to parts, but we haven't truly become one with Christ, who was willing to forgive even those who were crucifying him. Did they ask for forgiveness? Did they deserve his forgiveness? Maybe this doesn't apply to everybody, but I know for a fact. No, I don't know for a fact. But I know that there, you know, ask God. Like I said, I prayed. Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be in any wicked way in me. Like Pastor Damaris was saying in that certain song, it says, you picked up all my pieces and put me back together. Those pieces of unforgiveness, those pieces of bitterness, those pieces of sin, those pieces of anxiety, those pieces of grudge, holding on to a grudge, those pieces, he picks them all up and puts them back together the way they should be. He heals. He transforms. He renews. I'm going to go ahead and invite you to stand. I had harbored unforgiveness in my life, in my heart. And if I would have continued to be the way I was towards my husband, I think no matter what promise was spoken over our lives, what prophecy was spoken over our lives, it would have been difficult for us to maintain a happy union that God has called us to. And I'm not saying that, God changed my heart, I've forgiven, and now him and I are peachy keen, and we walk, and we never argue, and we never disagree. No, I mean, we're human. But that harboring unforgiveness was putting a strain in my marriage. Unforgiveness, like I said, it affects your behavior. It affects your actions. It's reflected in your speech. So I encourage you today, pray that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And if it's not unforgiveness for you, then ask God, what is it that makes me tick? Why is it that I'm always on the verge? Why is it that when this certain topic comes up, I attack? I'm in attack mode. I'm in defense mode. God, what is it? Reveal it to me. The altars are open. I'm going to ask for the prayer team to come up. The altars are open. And the first call is for that specifically. If you feel there is something that you've maybe convinced yourself that a certain issue, a certain topic, a certain person that you've forgiven, but from your heart, you're maybe like, maybe I haven't. Again, that parable says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. If we can't see them on earth, how do we expect to see them in heaven? Oh, I'm going to make it, but that person that hurt me, well, I don't know if God can reach them. No, that shouldn't be our attitude. So I encourage you, if you need prayer, if you need healing in your heart, if you need God to pick up the pieces and put it back together, whatever it may be, the altars are open as we go into a time of worship.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at mynumachurch. Thanks again, and God bless.